The next one that we now have come to is the what he calls the free will defense. Right? And so this is an extremely common defense, he tells us, among professional philosophers today. And it's based on human free will. So the free will defense says that evil came about by the free choice of rational creatures, Satan or Adam or every. And since that free choice was in no sense controlled or foreordained or caused by God, then he cannot be held responsible for it. And therefore, the existence of evil does not compromise God's goodness. Now, notice early on in the chapter, and we want to mention this, he makes this distinction between natural evil and moral evil. Right. And he believes that natural evil can be explained by moral evil because natural evil came about as a result of the curse of God on the earth because of moral evil. And so he's spending this chapter dealing with the issue of moral evil. It's the more important one, right? And so here it is. It's because we choose to do evil, and therefore that's why evil is here.
Right. It's your fault. It's your fault for all the evil in the world. So, yeah, as you know, from there, you would say then the moral evil comes about. Then God uses the natural evil to punish or to prune, depending on who his audience is. And so he's saying, you know, okay, well, here you've made the free choice of doing evil. Well, now here are the repercussions that I'm going to allow to happen. And so that's where I think a lot of people kind of like this a lot because it tends to remove God from the equation a lot more. But at the same time, that might be removing him too much from the equation that he'll go into. Well, Scripture does teach that man is or can be free in certain senses. So one is that he does what he wants to do, acting in accordance with his desires. So that's something that qualifies the free action here. And so, again, we don't want to talk about, I have the free will to flap my arms and suddenly I'm going to sprout rings. Well, that's a bit too free. But here, the qualifications is if you have a desire, then your choices will be a product of that. And so it's something that I think Scott Christensen covered well in his What About Evil is you just have these kind of free-floating ideas that you just do if they're not grounded in desire, because then you're just making, you're not even making choices. You're just making actions that have no, it's not tied to anything. But if you tie it to desires, then we can talk about kind of the human nature, the human heart being evil. And so therefore you can do no good because all your good deeds, quote unquote, are like filthy rags. So I think qualifying it with or grounding free actions within desires, I think adds a lot to the discussion here. And that's what Frame does. So whether those desires are holy or wicked, again, the desires come out. So that's how we can be pleasing to God, because we desire to do good. And from there, our actions please God. So that's one. But two is that Adam had the freedom or ability to choose either good or evil. The fall removed this freedom from us, or fallen creatures can only do what is evil. And he gives scriptural support there in Genesis and Isaiah and Romans. But redemption restores this freedom to those who believe, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Three, the redemption brings us to an even higher freedom, a freedom from sin and its effect altogether, John 8:32. Freedom from sin, you are free indeed, is the usual meaning of freedom in the New Testament. So you're free from that desire, and so when you sin, you are harking back to an old, unable to get away from in this world, spiritual sense, and so you're no longer slave to sin, where your desires are all evil. Even when you want to do good, but here, freedom from sin is usually what's meant here. And then finally, we are free in the sense that we are not helpless victims of historical determinism. Ooh, historical determinism, even worse. Scripture does not allow to plead a deficiency in a hereditary environment, psychological balance, or a self-esteem, for example, as an excuse for violating God's commandments. We are all in our actions responsible to obey the Lord. So Bakari and Bentham, they came about and said, you desire to do evil and you commit the crime. And so you looked at the choices and you said, I think the bad choice outweighs the repercussions. And so you do the bad thing. So free will action of some of the earliest philosophers of criminal mindset.
All right. So so this, you know, free will defense he's suggesting here is again, he's looking at scripture to try to determine exactly how this particular position matches up with what scripture has to say with regard to the problem. And he says scripture does teach it, right? That we are, in a sense, free in terms of acting in accordance with our desires. Adam was free to choose good over evil. Redemption brings a higher freedom. And of course, we're free in terms of we're just not hapless victims of determinism. And so, yes, scripture does seem to suggest that there is at least to in a certain sense, a freedom. Further, he says scripture does not agree with agree with the defenders of free will in teaching that the blame for sin rests on man rather than on God. So even when scripture specifically mentions God's foreknowledge of an evil event, that the blame for the evil rests exclusively with the human perpetrators. And he gives, scriptural support for that in Genesis 50, where, you know, Joseph's brothers, you know, kind of chose to do that deed against Joseph. And yet, they are blameful for it, even though God had predetermined that that was going to happen and it was going to fulfill his good purposes.